31st, 1517, the Eve of All Saints, Luther posted his 95 theses against the medieval Roman Catholic Church, and the church walls of Wittenberg, objected to the buying of indulgences to free people from sin in order to be given the gifts of heaven. In 1520, Martin Luther, 42 years of age, married Catherine von Bora, 26 age, a former nun. By the time of 1525, the Council of Augsburg, they had three children, Hans, Elizabeth, who died within 2 years after birth, and Lenchen. He was not allowed to travel to Augsburg, so he went to Coburg, some 20 miles away, under Prince Philip's direction. Catherine remained in Wittenberg, taking care of the family, household, and garden. Today we read some reconstructed letters between Catherine and Luther. They're from a book called Katie and Luther Speaks. It's by Dr. Jules McCullough. The book is out of print, but we've kept our manuscript that we did about 20 years ago. So this morning, Carol and I would like to read some of those reconstructed letters between Katie and Catherine. Martin is at Coburg. His leg aches, his stomach problems, and so you hear that in our script this morning. May 5, 1530. To my dear Catherine von Bora, grace and peace to you in Christ. Dear Katie, your letter is warmly received. How I pray you are here to doctor me. In addition to a very sore leg, I have trouble sleeping. My whole body seems to malfunction. I have a ringing in my head and am severely constipated. Despite this, I finally found time to translate many Aesop's fables into German. I'm sending several of those translations to young Hans, because I think this is a simple way to teach great truth to children. Frederick the Emperor, the Elector, sent his physician, which has helped me some, but I need my personal physician, my kinship. The news from Augsburg is not good either. It's rumored that Emperor Charles has made a deal with Pope Leo. He has never meant to accept our position, despite his writing that the purpose of the Diet is to lay divisions, to cease hostilities, to sunder past errors of our Savior Jesus Christ, so that we may adopt and hold one simple and free religion. What really seems to me is that we reformers should capitulate and recant. Pray for us. Pray for me, dear Catherine, as I pray for you, my love to Aunt Lenchen, and the entire household. In your love and faithfulness, Dr. Luther.
May the 11th, 1530. Dear Dr. Luther, your letter has upset all of us. We are sorry you are ill and depressed. Are you sure your father's current illness is not worrying you? The latest news we have received was not good, but we are all still praying for him. Now I'm sending some herbs to make a poultice for your leg. Use it every morning and evening for a week. I'm also sending some medicine for your other ailments. You are having a long period of physical inactivity, which I suspect is causing your depression to worsen. You know that physical inactivity always promoted your depression. I suspect you're probably playing too much chess. It sorrows me that I do not know enough about medicine to be a greater help to you. And yet, as I've talked with physicians who have visited here, I don't think they know much more either. I'm certain that there is a wealth of information about the body to be learned. God has blessed us greatly, but if only I knew more. It makes me feel so powerless to help you. Now I need you to go out several times each day for a long walk. Talk to the birds. I can hear you calling me Bossy Kate, but please remember I have always been a good doctor for you, even if I tend to be bossy. Everyone is well and sends their love. Your letters are so welcome. We miss you, and we look forward to your return. May God bless you, and yes, the children and I are saying our prayers. Love, Kate.
May the 20th. To my kind and dear mistress of the house, dear Katie, greetings. I hope this finds all of you well. First, I bring you news of Augsburg. The word from Augsburg is that Melanchthon is still very sad about the realization that we've never been reunited in the Holy Apostolic Church. But then he writes it now with more boldness, with his usual expertise. Secondly, my rising morning star of Wittenberg, could you find time to make and send another batch of your great beer? We've had many thirsty traveling guests, and now it looks like we could be here for months. These discussions with the visiting pastors have been so rewarding to me. Many of them are former students of mine. It's gratifying to know that a whole body of students have gone from Wittenberg University and carried our teaching with them. This shows how God in Christ was using me long before I could articulate the faith, that we are justified by God's grace through faith in Christ. My dear Katie, this life is nothing more lovely and delightful than a woman who loves her husband. I thank you for that honor. I miss you in Hans' childish prayers. To think what a family man this former monk has become. Only God knows. Tell Lucas Cronach how much I like the portrait of mention he painted. The continued friendship with Frau Cronach pleases me greatly. Yes, I value Lucas as a good friend and helper. His art is as effective as my words in spreading the gospel. I only wish you could find it in your heart to mend things with Frau Melanchthon. I fear, Katie, humbleness is not your strongest virtue. But do pray about it. You know, dearest Katie, through prayer, you can have everything that is in good order. Bring into order that is in disorder. Bear what you cannot be better. Triumph over misfortune, and hold fast to what is good. May the Lord keep all of you and bring together again. Yours in Christ, Dr. Ritter.
June the 6th, 1530. Dear Dr. Luther, all of us here in Wittenberg send greetings. We miss you greatly, especially little Hans. It was so sad to receive news of your papa's death. Be consoled that you have made him proud of you, and he knew and loved little Hans. I regret I cannot be with you in this time of sorrow, but I pray for you as well as for your mama. You have missed the new peas and the first crop of beans. As usual, the Luther household had them before anyone else. I shared all our crops with the Cranachs and the Melanchthons, as well as some poor folks. I do try, Dr. Luther, to be loving to all, but it isn't always easy for me. The children are fine. Lenchen babbles constantly, and Hans enjoys his studies and running in the orchard. God has been good to us, Martin. We get news from the travelers about Eck and Melanchthon. I know you're disappointed, especially that you must sit quietly in Coburg when you would rather be in Augsburg. Please be patient. God's blessing. Catherine von Bora, Luther.
June 13th. My dear Catherine, how I miss you. Athelina and the children. Lenchen probably walking by the time we're finished here. The emperor still has not arrived, but Melanchthon has needed the time. Since I last wrote to you, he's done a tremendous job of writing the articles of confession. I still feel wretched. I appreciate the herbs you sent for the poultice for my sore leg, which helped greatly. But my head still rings constantly like a thousand church bells. Last night, I counted the stars in heaven and sang all my favorite hymns, ending with a beautiful Magnificat. What blessed words of Mary to drive the devil away. If you were here to talk with me, surely the depression and sleeplessness would abate. I struggle with this fighting if I should ignore the elector's orders and go to Augsburg myself. This exile, while others fight my battle, irks and angers me. Perhaps I will go yet. Yes, my father's death has cast a gloom over my whole soul. But I am confident that he died in the faith of the gospel. I am amongst the senior Lutheran family. That too gives pause for much thought and sorrow. My poor sick mother can never be expected to live much longer. Please assure the children that your papa loves them and misses them greatly. But Dietrich just interrupted and said the messenger has arrived, saying the emperor is no more than 3 days away from Augsburg. Now we shall finally have our confrontation. I will write to you as time allows. Be assured by Miss Alving more than you miss me. May God bless you and keep you. P.S. With Emperor finally arriving, we can look forward to our reunion in Wittenberg before long. Dr. Mutter.
August the 1st, 1530. Greetings to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear Dr. Luther, we have so enjoyed your letters. They are the next best thing to being with you. It has been hot here for many days, and the orchard is at top production. The early apples have been delicious, and now our peaches and plums are beginning. Your favorite pear tree is overloaded with fruit. The Wellers are good tutors, but they also stop to have fun with Hans. So this leaves me free to do the farm work and see to the preserving. We should eat well next winter, for the crops are excellent. Today we must sickle the hay again. All is under control. Little Hans prays during mealtime. Lord Jesus, please bring my papa home. Whereupon Lenchen tries to say, Papa, no one forgets you. You have our love and our prayers, and we are glad that you are feeling a little better. May God be with you, Katie.
August 22. Greetings, my morning star of Wittenberg. Dear Katie, this letter will be short, because I want to finish a letter I've been writing to Hans. A guest who is here for the night will leave shortly from Wittenberg. I am sure we will someday look back at this long separation and see the lessons God is teaching us about marriage, as marriage is a school for character. Marriage is difficult, but it is a training ground of virtue, and thus the surest way to heaven. So, Katie, I'm thankful for the love which persists in our marriage. God calls us that we love our neighbor. You are my nearest neighbor, and thus should be, as you are my dearest friend. As I read scripture, it calls all vocations to be called by God. Please think of yourself as being divinely called to be a wife and mother. You do both tasks with such expertise. Also, you are a good farmer and physician. I am truly blessed with a great helpmate in this venture of faith. The dearest life is to live with a godly, willing, caring wife in peace and unity. Union with the flesh does nothing, but there must also be union with manners and mind, I preached recently. In the separation, be assured that you have a husband who loves you. I'm also concerned about my mother. I wish you'd be helping her at this time of grieving. In love and faithfulness, Dr. Luther. And then he leans forward and he writes this to his son Hans. It's a parable. What do you think it says? Grace and peace in Christ, my dear little son. I'm very glad to hear what you're learning well and praying diligently. Continue to do so, my son. When I come home, I shall bring you a nice present. Till then, I send you this story. I am a lovely, pleasant garden in which there are many children. They wear golden jackets and gather nice apples under the trees, eat purple and yellow plums, and sing and run and dance. They're beautiful little ponies with golden rings and silver saddles. I asked this man who owns the garden whose children they are. He said, they are children who gladly play, learn to love others. Then I said, dear man, I also have a son whose name is little Hans, Hans Luther. May he also come into the garden. We too may eat such good fruit and ride his ponies and play with his children. Then said the man, if he gladly prays, learns to love others, he may also come into the garden with Lippus and Yost too. If they all come together, they shall have whistles and drums and lutes and all kind of string instruments to play. Then he showed me a fine lawn in the garden, fixed up for singing and dancing, and there are gold whistles and drums and fine lutes. But as it was early, the children had not finished eating. I could not wait to see them dance. So I told the man, oh, my dear sir, I shall go right away and write my dear son named Hans about all these things so that he may pray diligently, learn greatly, and love strongly. But his Aunt Lena, too, he must bring her along. Can he bring her, too? Then the man said, all right, go and write him about these things. Therefore, dear Hans, please tell Lippus and Yost that they also pray diligently, learn greatly, and love strongly. Then together you'll come to the garden. With these words, I commend you to God, our Heavenly Father, dear Papa, Martin Luther.
September the 11th, 1530. Oh, my dear Dr. Luther, little Hans loved your story. He ran quickly and told Lippus and Yost that if they said their prayers and learned their lessons and loved others, they would be able to play in this wonderful garden. Now, we adults concluded that you were describing the Garden of Eden as God meant it for us. Is this true? You have been away now over 5 months and we miss you sorely. Now that the Diet of Augsburg has reached an impasse, why don't you just pick up and come home? Soon it will be winter and I don't like to have you travel in the icy cold. We're winding up the farm work. The fall garden is flourishing. What a reunion we will have when you return. We have dried fruit, saying each time how much we know you will enjoy it when you return. Things are really the same here, with the entire household awaiting your return. People stop to tell me that you have written them letters and kept them in your prayers. They cherish your concern for them. May God continue to improve your health and work in the Lord. Your loving wife, Catherine.
And so is the end of the letters that we have that's been reconstructed by Dr. McCullough. But remember that Martin Luther often quoted St. Paul's words we heard this morning. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. I hope you found a little information about Martin Luther and his wife Catherine in his letters. So often we think of Luther as his high theologian, but we forget that he had a family life those years together.